Lord, we're so glad to be here today to come and learn from the Word of God and then later to partake of Holy Communion. And as we come together this morning and look at the Word of God, we want to ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, that you will take this Word and that you will burn it into our hearts and our minds. We thank you for the fact that it's so relevant, so practical, so down to earth for us. And we just ask for your Spirit, take away all distracting thoughts on a hot morning. We also pause just for a moment to pray for our brothers and sisters in Kenya. It's a tremendous burden to us to see what's happening there, Lord. We pray especially for those that we know and love up there. We think of the Owino family, the Masioka family. We pray for the Kariuki family. And Lord, have mercy upon them, protect them in all that's happening, and grant to them lovely opportunities for the gospel. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you, dear friends, to open your Bibles to what we're going to have a look at this morning. One of the most wonderfully encouraging sections that there is in God's Word. Philippians, and we're in chapter 4, the passage that Tom read to us, and we're going to go from verse 4 through to verse 7. So just keep Philippians 4, 4 to 7 in front of you, and then I'd like to try and explain it. But I do want to underline one very, very important principle, just for your interest, before we come to this passage, and it is this. The great danger for all of us is that we want to turn to the practical passages of the Bible first. So everybody loves Philippians chapter 4, especially what we're going to study this morning. And we can be tempted to think that we can give that to anybody that's going through a tough time or that's battling or in need of encouragement. Now we must be careful not to fall into that trap, and I'll tell you why. Chapter 4 is the practical outworking of what we've already seen in chapter 1 to chapter 3. In other words, once you've come to Christ, once you're living with Christ, and once the Lord Jesus Christ is right at the center of your life, then we can say this is how you should live. You see, that's why we saw last Sunday morning, you may remember that the very first word in chapter 4 is the word, therefore. So this is the application to what we've seen. So if a person is not yet a Christian, they cannot do this. It's impossible. This is a word that is for real Christians. Having said that, just have a look for a moment at the outline. You can see how wonderfully relevant it is for us today. Paul is going to be showing to us, first of all, how do we greet every situation in life? I run with some very good friends. We've been running together for years now. And we run on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a Saturday. Just a little jog around the block. Nothing much at all, but it just helps us to stay thin so we don't, This is how do you do it? Run every day. And we go for a jog. And they were telling me on Thursday, maybe you read it in the paper on Friday, that the guy who goes out with their daughter was hijacked last week and was held in the boot of this hijacking car for 17 hours. It was the headlines. Did you all read about that? And they were giving us the background to what happened. The most horrific, incredibly challenging situation. I don't know what I would have possibly have done in that situation. Now, how do you react to that? How do you react to the people, I believe, who include you? Not the other day when the spa. Is that right? The spa, eh? We're living like in the Wild West here, but going to shop and then that was attacked. How do you react to that? How do you react when you're watching Spurs beating Manchester United and you have a power failure? Now, I don't mind if you can't cook or you can't put on lights, but that is a disaster. But you know, friends, it's frustrating. How do we react to these situations? Then, how do we react to people? You remember Clint Eastwood's movie some years ago, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? There are some good people, bad people, and so on. I'm not allowed to say naughty things. Mark's watching me here. But you see, how do I react to people? It's all very well to have lovely people, then we're nice to people. But what about those difficult ones? How do we react to that? Then, how do I react to the problems in life? So these couple of verses this morning are very, very, very helpful to you. And I hope this morning as I take you through them, that you will find yourself when you go home saying, you know, I want to live as a Christian. I don't want to react as a non-Christian. I want to react to every situation, to every person, and to every problem in my life, not as the world reacts. I want to react as a Christian. Is that all right? So that's where we're going this morning. So don't fall asleep. It's very, very helpful on this hot morning. Now let's go through it together. Just keep your eyes in the Bible. Number one, how do we greet every situation? Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. How do we react to every situation? My brothers and my sisters this morning, God's word says to the Christian, you rejoice. You are to rejoice. So point one on the outline, you've all got it there, is simply that exhortation which is repeated. Rejoice. And the reason why he repeats it is because on the surface, it may seem so unreasonable. It may almost appear to one or two people to be a command that is crazy. So when our friend was hijacked last week and put into that boot for 17 hours, what do we say to him? You see, it's situations like this, the smaller ones are easier. But when there's very, very difficult and heart-wrenching situations, the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you, no matter what the situation, not to get down, not to become bitter, not to become angry, not to become frustrated, not to run away, but to rejoice. Hey, you're all glaring at me. Now this is what the Bible is saying. He wants you and me to rejoice. Notice also, secondly, he uses the word always. Always. So it's not in one or two situations. It's not when we're stronger in one or two moments. But my friends, you see there that the Christian must rejoice always. Listen to Corinthians, where Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So for you, my brother and my sister in Christ, that is how we live. There's no note of despair. There's no note of self-pity. There's no note of becoming morbid. The Christian has a deep, deep joy that is deep inside. And for every situation, I rejoice. The thing is, how do I do that? How do we do that? Because by nature it's difficult. So thirdly, he says, listen, rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that important to notice, see friends? So where's the joy? It is in the Lord. You see, it is because of our oneness with Christ that we are able to rejoice always. Being united to Christ means that He by His Spirit will bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is that of joy. So, whatever it is, whatever the circumstance, whatever the pressure, whatever the tension, your reaction, no matter what it is to rejoice. Now, what have I shown you over these months as we have slowly worked through Philippians, just to show you why we can rejoice in the Lord? In chapter 3 and verse 7, we saw the first reason was because we are saved. Remember the apostle said, all these things that I once thought very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away, so that I can put my trust and my hope in Christ alone. Everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. My brothers and sisters, how can you rejoice in the tough times? Remember, you're a saved person. You've been rescued from going to hell. You've been rescued from living a life that is without purpose and meaning and hope by Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're coming to communion. Now, since I was a little boy, not a Christian, not even closely to a Christian, but I've always felt that to come to communion is a wonderful, wonderful privilege for a Christian. I'm coming to remember that Jesus loves me and died on a cross for my sin. We're going to do that in just a minute. You see, that's why we can rejoice, because Christ is with me. The other thing that we saw, you may remember in chapter 1 and verse 12 to 18, is because everything is working for our good. Remember, we saw that. I want you to understand, brethren, that the things which have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. So whatever happens in your life, friend, whatever happens to me, whatever occurs into the life of a true Christian, always, always, everything is for your good. Remember, we're studying Romans at the OG program, and in chapter 8, that lovely verse, all things work together for good. Won't you remember that, friend? You go to the doctor and there's not a good diagnosis. Problems in the home. Problems at business. Problems in our land. Always remember, God is in control. It's going to work out for your good. Nothing is there to hurt you. Nothing. You're a saved person. So how do I greet every situation? I rejoice in the Lord always. Remember Habakkuk, that lovely prophet in the Old Testament, said, though the fig tree does not blossom, though there be no fruit in the vines, though the labor of the olive fails, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and though there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice.